Speaker is Christy Borelli from Washington State University.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for coming. So I'm going to discuss nitrogen dynamics during the transition and the organic phases of dryland organic grain production. So you're still not done with organic grain yet. So first I'm going to give you a quick introduction of our project background, including a discussion of our rotation systems. And then we're going to look at a nitrogen balance during the transition phase of each of the systems and the effects that those rotations had on organic grain quality, specifically protein and yield. And then we'll discuss the conclusions and overall management considerations. So first I want to, the project was designed in 2003 with the intent of identifying strategies that can minimize economic and management risk for organic grain growers. And it was designed in order to evaluate different transition cropping systems that don't rely on inversion tillage and supply N with the use of legume crops. And the reason for that is Washington State, where we're located in eastern Washington, it's a very dry region. We only get about 21 inches of rainfall. So we do want to minimize tillage as much as possible. And to address an earlier question, we are looking at methods of such as rotary harrowing and hoeing that we can use as low input, less invasive ways of tilling to reduce erosion. And we also don't have a readily available source of animal manure, so we're really reliant on our legumes to supply N to the crops. And a lot of the agronomy portion of this project was published in 2010 in the journal Sustainable Ag. I'm not going to go into the details too much, but I'll draw on any relevant messages from that. Okay, so these are the rotation systems. As I mentioned, it began in 2003. So our transition was 3 years, 03 to 05. And these systems were designed to increase in legume intensity. So our first system was a spring wheat, winter wheat, spring barley. It was 3 years of cereal production. And that's a very similar system to how growers produce grain conventionally in our region. So that acted as our control. In systems 2 and 3, we substituted a spring pea crop in year 1 and 3. And that was the intent of we're going to have a legume, so are we going to have any benefits from that? But we're going to harvest that grain off as a crop rather than using it as a green manure, which we did here in systems 4 and 5, where we incorporated green manure in the third year. Systems 6 and 7 have green manure in year 1 and 3. System 8 is 3 years of green manure production, and System 9 was a 3-year perennial forage system that consisted of an alfalfa, oat, and pea cover system, so that was just left to grow for 3 years, and that was mowed, and we took that off as hay. And then, of course, our certified organic year began in 2006, and that was all planted to spring wheat, and then certified organic winter wheat in 2007. A couple points I want to make here. So in 2003, all of our crops were spring planted, including these fava beans, and they just didn't establish well at all. We had terrible stand establishment and high weed pressures, and we lost most of those crops to crop failure. So we had a lot of adjustment. One of the main things we did is took this fava bean green manure, which was not adapted to our area, and replaced it with a winter pea green manure, which was. That crop was very successful, and so it was continued through the System 8, the 3-year green manure production, and anywhere else where fava bean was supposed to be included. Okay, so now let's just look right at that transition phase, and we're looking at the nitrogen balance, and the idea of that was to identify nitrogen dynamics in each system during the transition in order to develop soil fertility management plans and for organic grain producers. So our N input was the sum of fertilizer N, plant N, and post-harvest soil N, and then from that we subtracted the pre-plant soil N. So whenever we had a cereal crop in any of the systems, we did supplement with a certified organic commercial fertilizer that was a fish meal bone meal mix. And then we added the plant N. Plant N was the sum of any nitrogen in any of the crops, including the grain, green manure, and weeds. and then we subtracted the pre-plant soil N. So that is looking just each year. We're not looking at this over time. We're just looking at the N input within a year. And it's also important to mention that we're just looking at the plant soil continuum. We're not considering any N losses to the atmosphere or to the water through volatilization or leaching. And then the net N balance is taking the N input and subtracting any N from crop removal. So wherever we had a forage where we baled that off as hay, or if we had a grain or a cereal where we actually harvested that and removed it, then we would subtract the N from that N input. And this is what it looked like when we break those up by year. So as I mentioned, in 2003, and that's the yellow bars across, we didn't really have any successful crop production. And so our N balances were really low. We really had no N gains or losses from the system. And so this stayed kind of level. There was no difference between any of those. Compared that to 2004, we only had one system with an input, and that was our winter pea, three-year winter green manure system, and that has significantly higher N balances than any of the other systems, which were either in grain or cereal production that year or forages, and those were all relatively zero balances. And then in 2005, we really saw some differences. Wherever we have a winter pea cover crop right here, we saw quite higher N balances compared to our forage system or our cereal systems. Again, those are the ones that having N removed. But then this is interesting here where we have our spring pea crops. Those were supposed to be removed as grain. But again, as with all of our spring crops that we had crop failure, complete crop failure there. So we really didn't have any N uptake from those systems. So those N balances overall are becoming quite comparable to those ones that have the cover crop. And then when I isolate soil inorganic N from that balance by itself, again, in 2003, no surprise, we have a similar flat line, no change between the systems there. And similarly, with the winter pea green manure in the second year, that's a significantly higher N balance. And I think the 2005 data is quite interesting because you might expect that because we had the winter pea systems all through here, that we're going to have that high-end balance. But we also saw that with the cereal system. So, again, we had spring barley. So we did get yields off of that, but they were still relatively low, so that N uptake was low. So similar to our spring pea systems in 2 and 3, the N mineralized in the soil, any organic N that was there. And so that increased the inorganic N levels. But then we look at the forage system here, and the forage system is quite comparable. Those are well-established crops. They grew well, not so much the first year, but in the second and third year. And all that net N was removed as biomass from hay, but we're still seeing this great increase in soil inorganic N. And we think that must be the result of underground mineralization of root dieback and maybe some exudates. There's some additions going on there. And then this is just the total system N balance. This is the sum of the three lines of the three bars that I presented in the first graph. And again, similar trends. We had something going on here. I think we had a weedy plot or something that was reducing it, but you can see they're comparable. So all of our winter pea systems, our cover crop systems are high, and the spring pea systems, the third year that had crop failure, are also comparable to those which are higher than the forage and the spring barley system. So it really was that third year what was happening really affected the overall balance. And so now when we look at the certified organic phase, as I mentioned, we had 2006, we had it split between spring wheat. It was two varieties of spring wheat, a hard red and a soft white cultivar. And in 2007, it was all planted to winter wheat. And the objective of that was to identify if the cropping system that we produced during the transition phase impacted grain yield and quality during the certified organic phases. And this is what we saw. This is the spring wheat yield in 2006. And the most surprising thing here is, again, this forage system had the highest yield. They were comparable to some of those that had the winter pea. But when you compare this forage system to these systems, because you remember that all the inorganic N levels were the same, so why are we seeing differences here? Well, this forage is so much higher, even though these systems really had a little bit higher inorganic N. Well, maybe the roots and everything that are in the soil are beginning to die back and contribute during this first year of production beyond the transition, where here they're mineralized very quickly, taken up by the crop, and there's nothing to keep adding into the soil. And then some of our winter pea cover crop systems are beginning to show a response, but they're not as significant as the forage was this year. And then we're seeing similar trends in the protein level. So wherever we had a winter pea cover crop or a forage, our protein levels are significantly higher than when we had a grain or a cereal crop. And as a side note here, we didn't see a system in cultivar interaction with the spring wheat, but our hard red spring wheat was superior in both yield and protein levels than our soft white variety. And then when we look at the second year of organic production, we're seeing a lot higher levels where our winter pea cover crops were. And now this forage system is beginning to dip, so it is a little bit comparable to these winter pea systems, but now it's beginning to become a little bit more comparable to our grain systems. So it's beginning to dip, indicating that those less recalcitrant materials, although they're really available that first year, they're beginning to go down that second year after 1 year of cereal production, where wherever we had a winter pea cover crop, those are beginning to break down. Those are a little bit more resilient, and they may be a little bit more add in a little bit more sustainably throughout the system. And then, of course, again, we're also seeing the similar trend with that protein level, where that's dipping with the forage after the first year of production, where our winter pea protein levels are still high. And this is just the soil inorganic N. So, of course, the yellow bars are before the transition, or the last year of the transition going into organic production. And what I really want to point out here, this is post-harvest soil N. And in some systems with the winter pea cover crop, even after 1 year of grain production, we're seeing increases in soil inorganic N. So cereal takes up a lot, so we're seeing that addition. Where we look at the forage crop, that's beginning to drop down. And then we're still seeing some sort of the recalcitrant material, some changes there in the second year, but I think we can probably all agree that those are quite depleted after 2 years of organic grain production. All right, so certified organic grain, it had some of the highest yields following forage in the first year, and these decreased the second year. Protein levels did exactly the same. Green manure during the third year of the transition resulted in some of the highest grain yields, but it had high protein levels both years. Those weren't affected at all. So the management considerations, one of the most important things that we learned was to choose competitive crops and cultivars. This was such a big issue. If we didn't have good stand establishment, as I mentioned, we just had poor crop development and high weed pressures, and we just had trouble throughout the whole transition and organic years. So in our situation, winter crops were better established than spring crops were. And many of you may have seen Misha Manicheri's study earlier, where she was looking at more competitive spring crops for our dryland region that was inspired by the work found here. And then we found that including a green manure during the last year was good for organic grain production. We didn't find any benefit to growing a green manure 3 years, so you wouldn't necessarily have to sacrifice your whole transition to cover crop production if you could just grow it that third year. That third year was really the important soil building phase. So including a green manure in the last year is a good management practice. And including a forage during the transition was also a fine option, but you would want to supplement soil N after the first year of grain production, because as we saw, those materials just started to dip a little bit. our grain yields and protein levels. But and the forage system also allows growers to potentially have a source of income during the transition, which is also a big deal when you're transitioning to organic and trying to build your soil, because you can bale that off and take that hay off and potentially sell that crop. All right. With that, any questions?
Thank you. We have time for a question or two.
All right. Thank you.